The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the top six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
Teddy versus Drew, who won today? Story number one.
Oh, Teddy won today. Teddy absolutely won the day. I don't think it was particularly close. Teddy Bridgewater had his best day. It was his most exciting day, honestly. Teddy had four passes that were 18 yards or further. First pass of the day was a 45-yard bomb to Deontay Spencer. Great pass, great catch, touchdown. That's how you started practice off. Teddy Bridgewater managed the two-minute situation much more effectively than Drew Locke had. They had 50 seconds on the clock. Teddy Bridgewater did things well. Drew Locke did not. Drew Locke ate up 43 seconds of it. They had to kick a 55-yard field goal. McManus made it, so no harm, no foul. Drew Locke had two interceptions. Teddy had one. Teddy had, he was 14 of 16 on the day. Just efficient with the wow plays to go with it. Really, without question, it was a Teddy Bridgewater day.
Ring and Kevin.
Where would you put the, if you had to, 1 out of 10, I like this because it makes it tangible and you can't get too far out of, in front of yourself here. First guy to 10 points, I asked you this last week, first guy to 10 points, where do you got each quarterback at right now? First to 10 wins it.
I got Teddy at a 3 and Drew at a 2.5. Actually, you know what, that doesn't make sense, does it? Because we're only
I don't think you have to base it off practices.
So, oh, I know.
So no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can include film. You can include history.
Oh, all right.
This is
10 is they got the job.
You
got
to get to 10, and once I have enough information to get you to 10, you get the job. Not just practice.
That is such a good question because I'd have to really honestly think what philosophy the Broncos want to move forward with. Yeah, I know. That's the tricky part. It's a good question. You know what, Tyler? I could make an argument that Drew's out of 10 and Teddy's out of 10, depending on how
now
they want to go.
You said that last time. Now you're sounding like Mike Kliss. Give me an answer. You said the exact same thing.
All right, hold on. Well, at least I'm consistent. I guess I'm trying to think like the Broncos are thinking. That's the challenge. I think Teddy is at a 7 and Drew's out of 6.
Okay, so you think
if
it's pretty
I'm thinking like the Broncos.
Well, number one, you think it's tight, and number two, you think it's close to being done. That's what that tells me.
I do, but I think there's room to go, and I think listen, here's what 50-50 to me means. Not only are they getting the same exact amount of snaps, but if you notice today, they are switching, and this is not the first time. They're switching Drew and Teddy in order of their reps, meaning sometimes Teddy goes first and sometimes Drew go first. And there was a period today where Drew went. Teddy went with the twos. And then when they went to do it again, then Teddy went with the ones and Drew went after that. So they are rotating. I don't know how they could be rotating things more equally. So while I don't think it's, Vic is saying.
Yeah, still even, Steven. There's been no separation.
I don't believe that. And I believe they're closer to the finish, I still think there's room to go legitimately.
Yeah.
7 and a 6.
I think Fangio gave us a little clue today that I'm not sure if he knows he gave it to us or not. He said that we're going to continue with the same rotation for the next 3 or 4 days. After that, he didn't make any promises. All right. In my mind, I think what Vic Fangio is looking for is he's trying to get through Minnesota. And once he gets through the Minnesota week, we'll reevaluate things. If we want to start giving guys more reps after that, maybe we'll change this up, but through Minnesota, we're going to see 50-50, and they get the equal amount of reps, all of the above. I'm close to you. I think there's a little bit further separation than you have. I'm going to put it at a 6 for Teddy Bridgewater and a 4 for Drew Locke. It's not insurmountable by any means for Drew Locke, but Teddy, it does have a lead, and that's based off of last year, that's based off going out and getting another quarterback, and that's based off the practices that we have so far.
Ring it, Kevin. Tyler, you were out there Saturday. It was a unique situation. We heard all sorts of horror stories about Teddy Bridgewater. Was it that bad?
Yeah, I mean,
was Teddy? I'm sorry. Let me be more clear. Was Teddy Bridgewater's bad day as bad as Drew Locke's bad day?
Sure, it was. I mean, you had arguably three interceptions. I was told today that after reviewing the film that there was only two of them, but there were three that were up in there that easily could have been intercepted. Not all interceptions are created the same, but they go down on the stat line the same. And if you've got three interceptions, you've lost a football game. If you do what Drew Lock did a few days ago and you don't complete a pass until the final period of the day, that means you didn't complete a pass in the first three quarters. You're going to lose the football game. Yes, Teddy Bridgewater's day was equally as bad as Drew Lock's.
Ring it, Kevin.
Interesting observation of the day. I don't know if it means anything or not, but I'm just curious your thoughts on it.
Okay.
Richie, myself, a bunch of the fellas, can't prove this, but it sure felt like the Broncos were piping in artificial applause whenever there was a big play that happened today.
Thank you.
It was applause, cheers, sort of all of the above. Now, maybe that was a mic that was on the hill that they were just amplifying through the speakers. Maybe somebody had a finger on an applause button.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like there was for sure some artificial noise coming in.
All right.
What do you think about that?
I got no problems with it. If they were doing it, first of all, I couldn't tell. Good for you guys for noticing. But at the end of the day, as much as you want the fans to experience training camp and Broncos practice, and I would recommend people go out there because it's the only time you really get to experience it all year, even if you're a kid. At the end of the day, it is for the players. So I actually don't think it matters. They pipe in music. They've piped in artificial sound to distract the players. If you want to just make it more fun and you want to pipe in applause, Tyler, I'm fine with it. You know, I mean, it's just trying to hype everybody up and might make people excited about being there. You got any issues?
No, I'm fine with it as well. I find it a little bit interesting that we need that. I don't think the Broncos have ever needed that previously. So that's and just an interesting observation. I actually think it's more about the fans' experience than the players, though. And I think it's about making the fans feel like they're in a cool environment. And I've got no issue with creating a cool environment for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, make it as fun as you can. It's fine by me. Bring it, Kevin. Von Miller and Lil Wayne are having a party on Labor Day. Any beefs with Von having a party on Labor Day where he's DJing and Lil Wayne is making an appearance?
Well, first off, I guess educate me more. This is the first I've heard of this party.
Oh,
so
you haven't seen it?
I don't know anything about this party. Tell me more.
Well, it's happening, I think, downtown someplace. It's a white party, so you have to wear all white clothes. You can go. Anybody can go. It's like $75 to $150 per ticket. And I'm going to guess Vaughn will do some guest DJing. It looks like it's just a big party. I don't know if Lil Wayne's performing, or is this like a party?
Is this a Von Miller hosted party?
He is hosting it with Lil Wayne on Labor Day weekend during training camp.
Okay.
That's
right after cut day. So Labor Day is, historically speaking, cut day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a day in which Mike Shanahan would always throw his huge party of the year.
All right, well, Vaughn's
having it. On Labor Day is the day that Mike Shanahan would throw us a party.
You made the team party.
That I'm guessing he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in his personal money.
Okay.
It was an insane party, all white. You've got DJs. You've got jewelry, casino parties. You've got TVs that you could win, jewelry. You've got open bar, live cigar rollers, live music. It's like a wedding on steroids. So based off the fact that I went to a party like that, that was very, very similar in nature for, well, I guess like 4 or 5 out of my 8 years in the NFL, I think no big deal at all. You?
Oh, I got no problems with it whatsoever. Zero.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You got no issues with this one, but you do the Halloween party?
Yes.
That's interesting. I don't get that.
Yeah, well, I think it's a tradition to have this sort of thing. The season hasn't started. It's usually around an off day. It's, I don't know. I got no problems with it whatsoever, actually.
I don't get the difference.
The other ones during the season.
All right.
And like Vaughn said, if you're out there golfing and you've lost a bunch of games, the optics aren't good. Vaughn said that. Not me.
It did.
Vaughn said that. Ring it, Kevin.
Okay, the Colorado Rockies chose not to trade Trevor Story. Or maybe they tried to and they couldn't find a trade partner. I don't know, but they did not trade him. Trevor was not happy about the situation, said that he had nothing pleasant to say about it, clearly wanted to be out of Colorado, And over the weekend, Trevor scratched himself from the lineup. Whoa, okay. What kind of storyline we got here, D-back?
Well, you got some baby behavior, unfortunately, and I don't like it. And I think that's a bummer, and Trevor should have acted more professional in that situation. Now, he did play after that, you know, I mean, but, yeah, that's baby crap, and I'm not for baby crap for professional athletes, so, you know, that's where I am with it. That being said, I want Trevor Story here, so I didn't want to see him traded. And I know the Rockies are taking a lot of heat for, like, not trading him, but I believe you need a strong shortstop. You need a strong middle of the field, and I want Trevor Story. So I never wanted to trade him in the first place. I want to get a deal done with him.
So you could arguably say that this is way worse than what Nolan did, because Trevor can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And if he doesn't resign, if he doesn't want to resign with the Rockies, he doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to, no.
Now, maybe the Rockies offer him the most money, and I don't know, maybe he played himself into a hometown extension. But if he were to continue with antics like this, I would argue that this is way worse, way more selfish behavior than what Nolan did, because Nolan had to do it in order to get himself out of town. Trevor, you got a couple more months, man. Like, suck it up, and then you're in free agency.
Yeah, what do you think about him pulling himself out?
I think it's pretty childish. I do. Yeah. And I think that you've had the type of year that unfortunately caused you to be in the situation where you were not traded. So I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't love it either. But, you know, I mean, whatever. I mean, the Rockies, believe it or not, have actually played pretty decent on the road.
Have the Rockies ever had a superstar that was happy? Larry Walker, was he happy for Todd Helton, I guess.
I mean, I'm going to guess they
were pretty... Larry Walker demanded his way out of town when it was all said and done also.
I'm going to guess they were pretty happy in 07 when they were going to the World Series, 09 when they went to the playoffs. When they went to the playoffs the past couple of years, I was standing in the middle of the clubhouse when a lot of superstars were pouring champagne over each other's heads. They looked happy then.
So, yes?
I guess. I don't know. I'm sitting there getting champagne in my eyes because they're pouring on each other because they're in the playoffs.
I'm going to say no.
Look pretty happy then. They're doing a good job faking it. Bring it, Kevin. Wrap it up. We will be in Canton on Friday.
Boom.
How about that? And we'll be off on Thursday as we'll be traveling to Canton, actually Cleveland, but being down in Canton. And we'll be broadcasting on Friday from TD's Tailgate Grill in Canton. Wow, that's going to be great. Mountain High Appliance presents the Drive's Hall of Fame Bash from Canton, powered by TNT Plumbing. Thank you, TNT Plumbing. If you want any details, if you're headed down there, and we'll actually be broadcast, we'll kind of be around the entire weekend. You can get info at denverfan.com/Hall of Fame. I don't know if your calendar is booking up at all for that weekend, and I don't know if you can share anything or not, but...
I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Steve has been just above and beyond generous to me and my family, and my wife is unfortunately not going to be able to make it because we just couldn't quite figure it out, but he offered to bring us both out there, put us up, we're going to be sitting, I'm going to be sitting with his friends and family during the actual ceremony, so you'll be back with all the bums in the media section. I'll be hanging out down there in the cool people
that's
section.
That's fine by me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine by me.
I'm looking forward to his party. I think Stokely might sneak me into a fun party or two. We'll see how it all shakes loose.
All right.
But yeah, the weekend's starting to fill up here a little bit. It'll be great. I've never been out there for something like this. I went out to the hall one time as a rookie. Back then, they made all rookies go out there. And so that was a unique experience. Now to be able to go and see people that I played with, people that I know going into the hall, it's amazing how many teammates I have that are already in the Hall of Fame. I counted it up one time. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Like
but I think it's double digits
in
the hall already, or at least guys that are going to be in the hall. I'll do that project.
Who do you know that's in? That's really in?
So, man, I got to go back and look over the last few years, but there's a handful of guys. Number one, I was teammates with John Lynch. I was teammates with Ty Law.
All right, Ty Law is in.
Let's see.
For sure.
Last year, remind me 2 years ago.
Oh,
some of that
man.
Class, because there were a couple guys 2 years ago that went in that I was teammates with.
Well, Champ Bailey.
Champ, I was teammates with. Peyton, obviously, I was teammates. So there's 4 or 5 right there. Really, I haven't even started thinking yet. But and then once you start including guys that are going to be future Hall of Famers, I've definitely got double-digit teammates. Pretty insane.
Well, then you are really, really I think you're really going to be blown away by the bust room. That I was, at least. I can't even imagine, like, knowing somebody. Like, having a personal relation. Well, I mean, you know, no champ. But you know what I mean. Like, you played with somebody, you're really friends with them. That room in particular is just, it's awesome. And it's kind of awe-inspiring. It's actually one of the smaller rooms in the Hall of Fame. I mean, they're busts. They're not that big. But it's just very classy the way they do it. It's kind of like there's a kind of a hush that goes on you going in there. And then there's a lot of other fun parts to it. Never mind the fact, I mean, it's going to be crazy. You're going to be you'll see. You'll be the belle of the ball. You'll be going to all the parties.
Yeah, I'm just going to be a little peon that's hanging out with cool people. But I'm grateful to know
cool
people.
What are you bringing to wear? What's the fashion?
You know, I was talking to Stokely about that, and he's been to this.
Yeah,
I have not. He says that the actual ceremony is, like, super casual. Like, like if you want to wear shorts, you could wear shorts. So I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to wear just yet. I doubt if I wear shorts.
I think it's the party that you got to...
No, he said that you go straight from there to the party and kind of wear whatever outfit you wear to the ceremony is what you're going to wear to the parties.
Huh. So just like a good, like, nice...
Now,
the
gold jacket dinner, that's different.
Oh, okay.
That's like your dress up in the nines.
Well, you're not going to that, are you? Are you going to that?
I don't know. We'll see.
Really?
Maybe. I got a conflict at the moment. Yeah, we'll see.
Wow. Oh, that's really cool.
We'll see. We'll see.
All right.
I got a show to do.
Oh, my God. Really?
Mm.
That's the conflict? What day is that?
I got a show to do.
Is that Friday or
Saturday?
That's
Friday.
Oh, that sucks. Because I know what time we're on from.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's all right, man. I mean, I'm going to be a part of all kinds of cool stuff. So
no problems
whatsoever.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll be having dinner at TD's Tailgate Grill in Canton. Bring a gold jacket there if you want. Some notes to pass along from today. The Nuggets have signed Jeff Green, 2 years, $10 million. They also signed Will Barton, 2 years, $32 million, and Jermichael Green, 2 years, $17 million. Good to play basketball.
How about Will Barton?
How about Will Barton?
You like it? You think he's worth it?
I guess. I don't know, man. It doesn't feel like he's a starter. He is a starter, so sure.
Well, $36 million is not insane money in the NBA.
Right.
We just saw Chris Paul just signed a $120 million deal at 37 years old.
Right.
So $36 million feels insane on a two-year deal, but in the NBA, that's not like top-flight money.
Right.
And that's about right for who he is.
Sure. It's just, wow. Just a lot of money, that's all. The Avs signed defenseman Ryan Murray. Geez, you know, I saw they signed a tough guy over the weekend. I'm sorry his name's escaping me right now. Maybe you guys can help me out. They signed like a goon.
Okay.
Flat out guy who's going to thump your butt.
I like it.
Butt.
Bring it back. Let's go.
Yeah, man. Kevin, help me out there. Who is that guy? Who did they sign?
Hockey guys, you know?
Yeah, but something big penalty minutes, big huge dude.
Take off!
Like the highlights were like of him just beating
the...
Hockey guys, let's go. Hockey guys.
I saw the highlights of, hey, the Avs have signed this guy.
Yeah.
And then it's just,
I love that guy.
The highlights of him.
That guy's great.
The highlights are just him beating the crap out of another dude.
That's the kind of highlights I'm looking for. I love it.
Okay.
Take off.
Okay, everyone. Like, this is.
I mean, we did lose to Canada in soccer today.
Unrelated, I find it so weird that you've got such beef with Von Miller's Halloween party, but you've got no beef with his Lil Wayne Labor Day party. That feels so weird to me.
Well, first of all, he's not producing the Lil Wayne party. He's really just...
I asked you that. You said it was his party.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. No, I looked it up. There's somebody else who's producing it. It's like a paid appearance for him. It's not like his production. He's not in charge of it. I mean, aside from maybe him retweeting or posting something on Instagram, he's got nothing to
it's
do with it.
It's a paid appearance.
Yeah, it's a paid appearance.
Okay.
Yep. So and it's a hobby he has, being a DJ. He just likes, he has a hobby. I'm not against having hobbies. and it's for the general public. Anybody can go. It's not for the team. It's not
so whether it's general public or open to friends and family makes a difference.
I just find that the Halloween thing.
I'm not trying to just put you on the spot here, but I do find it. You know, I do find it interesting. A little bit hypocritical.
You're giving the degree that I care about the Halloween thing too much credit.
What are you talking about? You talked about it for like a week straight.
I think it's
don't act like you don't care.
Well, I think it's a bad idea. I just don't care.
I don't believe that. I do not believe that at all.
I got to admit, with Vaughn, you know, Vaughn's probably in his final year here.
Yeah.
So I find myself wanting the best for him, and the future of the Denver Broncos is going to have to move on without Von Miller. And so I'm decreasingly caring. Von's been here a long time, man. He's been here like 11 years. He's had an unbelievable career.
You know, two camps ago.
And I don't think he's like as strong of a leader on this team as he once was. I think the future of this team, say on defense, is much more with a guy like Justin Simmons than Von Miller. I just think that the pages have turned, that's all.
Well, sadly, I don't know what this means, but sadly, he is still the only household name on this entire football team. If you're talking about on a national stage, he's the only one we got. He's the only guy that can walk over and do the clap deal with the crowd every single day.
Yeah.
It's weird. Two camps ago, Von Miller's body looked unbelievable. I mean, he just looked yoked. He looked jacked. He'd been putting in the work. He was motivated by Michael Jordan, and it was showing up in practice. You could see it. So far with Von, I really have not seen a whole lot, and that concerns me because I think the pass rush is low-key maybe a problem on this football team.
I feel you. Yeah, when have we mentioned Vaughn in our notes? Have you written him down?
I don't have any sacks. I don't have any real, no.
No, me neither. I wrote down, I wrote down number 63 today, which is Curtis Robinson.
He got the pick.
He got the pick.
Off Teddy, right?
That's right. He got the pick on Teddy.
Yeah. Probably not the number you want to be wearing if you're a linebacker.
I've written Shelby Harrison.
63.
Right? Terrible number. That's terrible, isn't it?
Your future's not looking bright if you're wearing 63.
Who got the pick 63? Right. I've written down Shelby Harris's name and Ajim's name and Purcell. Well, he's been hurt, but
Draymond Jones is another name.
He's
another name that I've been wanting to pop, but I haven't seen him pop yet. I'm just going to keep it real. I haven't seen him pop.
Hey, tomorrow they're in pads. Let's see some one-on-one pass rush, right?
Yep.
Right? That's where Vaughn is, you know, usually dominated, so we'll look at that tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get a good feel for it during that.
And don't forget, Vaughn had a vet rest day, which was...
That's true.
Weird.
One less practice.
I don't know. You're sneaky right about the concerns of pass rush. That's a sneaky, like, kind of behind-the-scenes concern that you may be hitting on. If Vaughn isn't the same guy and Chubb is, you know, not completely recovered,
right?
What is the depth there, which is, you know...
Very little.
Tuska and Reed and...
That's it.
You got it. All right, in terms of the day, let's go over it, though. Teddy versus Drew... Take a peek at it next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and T-Mac.
All right, well, day five of training camp in the books, and day six, they finally put on the pads. The pads start popping, Tyler. So.
Kind of, sort of, a little bit. They had the uppers on, right? A little half kind of big boy football, just little baby steps towards big boy football.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when the pads come on, it's so exciting, the pads. Okay, inevitably there's a fight of some kind at some point, not necessarily on the first day.
Yeah, not today. I didn't see any today, but you're right, it'll come.
But essentially when pads come on, they really emphasize running the ball. And as exciting as it is when pads come on because it's more physical, it can also, from a fan's perspective, sometimes can be more boring because it's more an emphasis on that. But that's from my perspective. When the pads would come on, what would that mean to you?
Football didn't really look any different to me than it looked the last couple days today. The only difference really comes about when coaches allow some thud with the linebackers and with the safeties. That's the only difference, really. If they're allowed to thud up with the ball carrier and not take them to the ground, but, you know, a nice little pop and see if they can get the ball to pop out, that's really the only difference that's going on. Offensively, defensively, okay, down there in the trenches in the running game, it's definitely more physical. And you're going to see it in the double teams. That's where it's going to really show up. Running game, that's about it. That's the only place you're really going
to
feel it.
Yeah, man, if you talk to any of the offensive or defensive linemen, these guys have been – they'll tell you it's been full go.
Oh, yeah.
Who cares?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't tell the difference today from other days, and that's a good thing. That means the guys were going at good tempo. Yeah, as a coach, you want to be able to reward your guys by taking the pads off, and you can only reward them if they play at a fast tempo when they don't have the pads on. I couldn't tell the difference between today and other days, so that's a good sign for the guys moving forward.
What about one-on-ones with offensive and defensive linemen when the pads come on?
That's the first thing that is going to be different, right?
That changes.
And so that does change, and you will have O-line, D-line, one-on-ones. I think that's literally going to be the only difference in practice. So normally when the team goes to 7-on-7, that's when offense and defensive line will go do their one-on-ones.
Okay. And what will you be watching?
I'll try to watch the one-on-ones. It depends on where the location is, of course, because if they got them all the way opposite field and in the opposite corner, it's just going to be tough to see the detail. But, of course, when it comes down to 7-on-7 versus one-on-ones, O-line, D-line, absolutely. I mean, not just from, like, what I did for a living. I honestly think it's more exciting. I think offensive line, defensive line, one-on-ones is by far more exciting than watching them throw a football on air routes against defensive backs that have got all day to try to hold up, and they just can't do it.
Well, that all starts tomorrow, and we'll be out there unmasked to tell you all about it. It'll be fun. Today I thought was cool. Today was a Teddy Day. How about that? Teddy Bridgewater winning the day.
It was definitely a Teddy Day. This was for a number of different reasons. Number one, I counted four passes that were 18 yards or further for Teddy Bridgewater that were completed. And that was an aggressive day. First pass of the day was a bomb touchdown to Deontay Spencer, probably 45 yards, just delivered on a spot. Great ball, great delivery, great catch. You could tell that Teddy Bridgewater was trying to be aggressive today. And not only was he trying to, he was completing his passes. I think he only had two balls that were incompleted on the entire day. He did have the one interception. Drew Locke had the two interceptions. Mm-hmm. The biggest differences for me came down to a couple things. Number one, Teddy was completing the long balls, and he was being aggressive, and he was not having the incompletions. Number two, Drew Locke had a lot of incompletions today. I've counted seven. That's not exact math. I might have missed one or two in there. I counted seven on the day, and then you go to the two periods that really matter, the two-minute drill and the move-the-ball period. Mm-hmm. In the two-minute drill, they had 50 seconds on the clock, one timeout for the offense. They get the ball on the 50-yard line.
Yes.
So basically, you got to get about 15 yards as an offense to do your job because the goal was to kick a field goal and you're going to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Locke goes out there first, and I'm sitting there with Stoke. Drew threw two really short passes. They were completed, but he took 43 seconds off the clock and gained maybe 11 yards, not an effective two-minute drill. Teddy Bridgewater went in there, and he picked up a big gainer right off the bat to Jerry Jeudy, quick slant, and then he hit a little running back swing. The ball got out of bounds. They didn't even have to use their timeout.
Right.
They were able to then run a running play, then use their timeout. Really well executed on the two-minute drill. And then at the move the ball at the end of the day, Drew finishes it all off with an interception. That's going to leave you with a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, it was definitely a Teddy Day. The one thing that seems one thing I want to point out though too is one thing we noticed. This is, I guess, pro Teddy, by the way. Okay, there's a lot of dinking and dunking, but dinking and dunking is going to lead you to probably third and four, third and five. Whereas there might be a lot of instances where Drew Locke leads you to third and seven. And on that move the ball period, he did make a nice throw. It would be a tough catch, but it was catchable, but it was like on third and seven. So, okay. It's a lot easier to make a play if it's third and five or third and four, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe part of the issue with Drew is that you're going to be put in those third and sevens, third and eights a lot more often than Teddy Bridgewater. Now, the other side of that is Teddy Bridgewater is not going to move. He's not going to run for a first down. That's not going to happen. And you do have that possibility with Drew Lock. So how do you balance off the difference between one guy who could scramble to pick up first down yardage and another guy who can't?
Well, I think it's really simple. Honestly, today, I don't disagree with what you just said, but today, that was not the case. Today, Teddy Bridgewater was definitely taking shots down the field and keeping the chains moving beyond just getting you to third and six, third and five. There's a huge difference, though. As a play caller, you want to be able to know, okay, I'm going to call this play, and I want to get 4 yards out of it. So I'm going to go from first and 10 to second and six. And then I'm going to call the next play, and I want to get 3 yards out of it. So now I'm going to finish off with the goal being third and three, a very manageable down and distance that I feel like I can predict 3 plays worth of calls that are going to come out in that series. And I want to know that the quarterback that I'm putting in the game is going to get me to that point. Drew Lock does have better feet, for sure. I see it. Everybody sees it. However, he's going to get you to third and eight a lot. He's going to get you to third and 12 a lot. He's going to have bad things that go on. And as a play caller, you say, well, which one means more to me? By far, the guy that is going to keep me in the zone as a play caller. Do you know how hard it is as a play caller to go, okay, I'm calling a play on first and 10. I want to pick up 4 yards. And then you pick up 1 yard. So you say, okay, now I got to pick up 5 or 6 on the next play. Maybe I pick up 2 yards. You're just out of whack. You don't get into the rhythm. Play callers for sure are going to want the guy that they know is going to get them just moving the chains from one point A to point B.
So Vic Fangio said again today, zero separation.
I don't believe that for a second.
All right. Well, you know, that's what he says. And we put pads on tomorrow and we go from there. But there's not much of a debate about it today. I mean, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who said Drew Lock won the day. And, you know, it felt close in the beginning, and then just as the day went, it was like, well, Drew better come back here. Drew better come back here. Drew, okay. And then the practice was over and like, oh. So it kind of started close. But when you really looked at things at the end of the day, it was like, oh, well.
This
wasn't really close at all.
Ironically, today, Drew didn't have any wow moments, whereas Teddy Bridgewater had about
Correct.
Four of them.
Correct. Drew had a couple of drop passes too, though. But Drew is also putting his team in a tougher spot than Teddy was today.
Oh, yeah.
Teddy won the day. Teddy won the day, hands down.
Plain and simple, for sure.
Now, there's somebody on our show that everybody was talking about. And it wasn't you, and it wasn't me.
Oh.
But I mean everybody.
We're down to two.
Everybody was talking about this person.
Obviously, Richie.
And it wasn't Richie.
Oh!
Details next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
All right, well, since we cover all things training camp, large and small, and we said that it was Teddy that won the day, and they put on pads tomorrow, and Bradley Chubb was back in the mix a little bit, and Tyree Cleveland was hurt, and Josie Jewell's going to be up for a good chunk of time. It more or less leaves you to wonder, well, what else is there to talk about? But yet on the sidelines, amongst the gathered media in the 2M section, there was somebody in our show whose name was coming up over and over and over again.
Mm.
And yes, it was Kevin Chicken Fingers Kistner Brandon McManus. I was trying to work in the middle name.
Okay.
Chicken Fingers. See, that's hard to do.
It is.
Chicken Fingers Kistner.
Yeah.
It's like it should
Kevin
be.
Kevin Chicken Fingers Kistner. Got it.
Right, right. The Kistner-McManus debate, I could not believe how many people in the media were coming up to me making comments about the beef that Kevin was in with Brandon McManus.
Is that right?
Dude, it was comical.
Wow.
Comical.
So we're kind of hanging out in different media sections. And so that I kind of hang out with our crew the majority of the time. And you're intermingling with more of the beat writers. And so that's interesting. Tell me some stories. What did we find out?
Well, McManus had a very active practice today, like in a competitive situation with the whole team out there, and sort of
had a good day too.
He had, well, Do we know he had a good day? I mean, do we know? Kevin, can you turn on your mic there? Is that possible for you to... Are you right there?
I'm right here.
All right. So what was your review of Brandon McManus today?
Well, I wasn't there today.
Oh!
I had to miss practice, the one I didn't want to miss.
Oh, man.
You had to go to the eye doctor.
I was at the eye doctor.
Right.
McManus needed me to check my glasses, so I went and checked my glasses
out. You were at the eye doctor or you were at the ophthalmologist?
Oh, the ophthalmologist.
Right, because McManus uses big words.
Right. I think that was the same
thing. So you didn't see it, huh?
I did not see it. I will see it tomorrow.
Well, he did miss a 55-yarder, but he drilled a 60-yarder, and I think he hit everything else he was kicking.
He really saved Drew Locke's bacon on that 2-minute drill, which Drew Locke only picked up about 6 yards or whatever it was. And then how long would you say that was? That, I mean, that was over 50 yards for sure.
Yes, it was. Oh, gosh, I'd have to go look at my notes.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but it was a big kick.
It was. And he did hit a 60-yarder as well. He missed one kick that I saw, one, at 55 yards. You know, I think the kick he might have hit with Drew might have been like a 58-yarder or something. It might have been something ridiculous.
It was to the point where I didn't think they were going to even kick the field goal. I know it was really, really long. So whatever it was a monster kick.
It was. And then he also made the kick. You know what? Hold on. Let me check. Let me get it right. If we're going to do this, let me get it right. I wrote it down. Gosh darn it, Kevin. Oh, Kevin, I cannot believe you weren't there for it. I mean, it was just... It was a 55-yarder. Okay. It was a 55-yarder.
Feels about right.
And he made a 46-yarder for Teddy Bridgewater. That was good as well. So he ended practice with two, got to make the field goal, move the ball, two-minute drill sort of moments. So there, yeah, but he was kicking all over the place today, actually. And I just could not believe how many people were actually coming up asking about Kevin.
You know, I think Kevin kind of got, he got the bus backed up over him. He was not alone there. There was a whole grouping of them. They're all sitting there counting McManus's practice reps. Kevin was the only one that tweeted about it. But nobody seemed to really have your back that was in that grouping, did they?
I haven't heard anyone today, but I know Zach and, Marilat were sitting right next to me counting.
I know. You were the only one that tweeted about it.
But. Yeah, no one came. No one came to my defense.
He certainly was the only one that tweeted that got response from McManus to go to the eye doctor, ophthalmologist,
right.
which Kevin may have taken him up on. So Brandon looked fine. The special teams looks, I don't know. I don't know what to say about special teams. Brandon McManus looks fine. Bobby Moyer looks fine. Sam Martin looks fine. The rest of it, who knows?
I can't tell anything about special teams at this point. We'll have to see that in some real games. That's definitely impossible to evaluate.
I just know that there's a couple times of practice Tom McMahon just is screaming his head off. And I almost feel bad for him because you're kind of forced to yell and scream as a special teams coach because you're coaching the entire field.
Well, Tom McMahon's excuses are going to be running thin. If there was a coach that probably should have been fired last year, it was Tom McMahon. And he did not get fired, which is fine. He's got another crack at it. But he's got much better talent to be working with this year than he did last year. The depth on this football team is so much better. And that's where your special teams roster is coming from. It's coming from your number two, your number three wide receivers, your number four. Defensive backs. Those are the guys that you're working with on your special teams, and the depth on this team is way better than it used to be.
All right. John Elway was out there today.
I did see John was out there. Good to see him.
Good
yes.
to see John. Camp's approaching. So
right.
That's good that he was there.
Yep.
Bobby Massey is playing. I mean, he was out there again as the starting right tackle. Are we done with that competition, or do you think...
Oh, I don't think we're done with that competition.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. Okay. Bobby Massey had a false start today. Not that it means a ton, but he did have a false start in a backed-up period, which... It was not even a hard count. Most of the time when you get backed up and you're on the 2-yard line, you're going to go on a hard count. You're going on two. You're trying to get a cheap 5 yards, get yourself a little bit of freedom there. He jumped off sides on Seth Hunt. So not good. That counts against him. I think Calvin Anderson, the fact that he got the first couple days there means something. Interesting, though, Cam Fleming, the guy that is basically getting the same amount of money as Bobby Massey, he has yet to take a rep with the starters at right tackle. So he's clearly the guy that they're looking at more as the swing tackle, and it's going to come down to Anderson and Massey. I would be shocked if it's not Massey when it's said and done, but no, I don't think that battle is over.
Okay, and let's see. There was kind of a fun moment where Teddy threw a little bit of a floater. Nice time pass to, oh, I'm thinking Alabama. I'm freezing here because I'm thinking Pat Sertan. Judy, sorry. Oh, my gosh. But it was over Pat Sertan. And it was like, oh, okay, fun moment.
Sertan got himself a pick. A couple other just quick hitters, observations throughout the day. Bradley Chubb was out there, did not get a ton of reps, but I was watching him with his very first rep. He was going up against Garrett Bowles. And I'm not sure if it was a sack. It was definitely a pressure, borderline a sack. So very first rep, he was out there, put in a nice little power move on Garrett, arguably a sack, definitely a pressure at worst. Didn't see him take many reps after that, but good to see him out there on the field.
That's true. He did do full gassers on the side, which was like, oh, okay, all right. Well, you're feeling good enough to do that.
Well, if you're playing football, I would think you could run in a straight line, I would hope.
And he was.
I would hope he's doing that. Let's see. Calvin Anderson was taking number two right tackles. Other fun fact of the day.
Yes.
Did the piped in crowd noise. How about that?
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, buddy.
I don't know if I caught that.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Piped in crowd noise.
From where?
From the building. So they got those big old speakers up there on top of the scoreboard. And
really?
Anytime there was a big play, somebody was pressing a little applause button.
What?
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. For sure, there was piped in crowd noise.
Wow.
It was like
we're
in Indianapolis or something. I don't know what was going on. Somebody had a little button, and there was piped in crowd noise for sure.
Okay. Boy, that totally escaped me. I didn't even know that.
Well, that's why I've had Richie, you know, giving us the piped in crowd noise all day today whenever I've got a hot take or something, right? That's what that's all been about.
Okay. Goodness gracious. Look at that. All right, Broncos, making it interesting. And we'll be out there tomorrow when they put the pads on, and we'll see what happens. I think the conundrum the coaches are ultimately going to face here, Tyler, with this Teddy Drew thing, you can pick either guy. They're so different. It's almost like a different philosophy on who you choose to go with. So I don't think there's ever going to be any major separator. I think they're just two different guys. So which direction do you want to go? I think that's the decision you got to make, not who's going to be better, because they're both their own type of dude. They're just different. So we'll see.
Well, at this point, Drew Locke's best hope is that it comes down to a philosophy. Because if it is about who's going to look better day in, day out, Teddy Bridgewater is going to win the most days. He already has won the most days. It's going to continue to look like that. Because in practice, Teddy Bridgewater's got the type of skill sets that's going to look better in practice. So the philosophy thing is interesting. And if that's what it comes down to, it makes you wonder, what are they doing at all ever? What a disservice they've done to Drew. If Drew Locke wins the starting job, honestly, what a disservice they did to him by opening it up ever to Teddy Bridgewater, because it was always going to come down to philosophy, because Teddy's going to look better in practice. He has looked better in practice, and I will be shocked if it doesn't continue that way. If Drew wins the job, it's because they wanted the upside, and they should have never opened up the battle to begin with.
All right, man. Well, we're here for it. Kevin, good luck stirring the pot with McManus. Richie, good as always. Tyler, we will see you tomorrow. And Nick and Cecil up next on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Dedicated.
Hey, guys. Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big-time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.